It's a very nice opportunity, and thank you very much for giving this to me to talk about really a hobby that I've been pursuing for many years now. So say about 17 years. I've been busy with recycling. And this is not just something that has happened yesterday. It had its roots also in metallurgy as a process engineer. I'd like then to share with you about 16 slides just to give you an overview of what I do and what I think is possible here in this state, also in Australia in general. And perhaps after that we can just, if one of the slides or more, then give you some ideas. I'll be glad to answer the questions then. I've always tried to, and this is for a long period now, try to show that we can close cycles to an extent in metallurgy. And that's obviously a bias as being a metallurgist. So I always start each lecture, each morning for the students, I show this picture to start thinking in the cycle. And obviously, you will immediately say, is this theoretically? No, it is not. It works. And I'd like to show this, and I've given a title, The Web of Metals, to show you, give you a bit of an idea of the complexly interlinked world of metallurgy. And I used this title last week at the National Iron and Steel Institute, where I spoke to about 300 CEOs and board members from the steel industry, sharing more or less the same ideas with them, which I will be sharing with you today. As a metallurgist, then, obviously, I started my life over here. In Europe, I learned this part, and now I'm also involved in the car industry, and I will show this in these slides. But let me start from biology, and there are some very nice cycles in nature, and this is a very nice one, showing the link between CO2 and fixing that to glucose. That is the normal photosynthesis process. But usually what we do in our evaluation of these cycles, we just look at the outside. We look at the energy balance, the mass balance, and we get environmental footprints of that. But really to close that cycle requires in-depth knowledge of each step, each link, each reaction in that system. Now that is nice and beautiful science, which got Kelvin the Nobel Prize at the time. But looking at the next slide, that is our consumer society. We have a product, we have a whole set of processes back into the product. For steel, we can recycle, say, odd 50%. For other metals, it's slightly less, but it's working at the moment. But how do we make this work? And as those that know would immediately say, you need to know the interlinks between each step, between primary metallurgy, secondary metallurgy, the design, and actually understand the economics of that, the quality of the streams. And if we can't sell them, this loop goes lost. So my main message, and a simple message, is recycling can save a lot of energy. It can reduce CO2 if you do it well. The order of magnitude difference between primary metallurgy and secondary, that is just melting or remelting materials, is substantial. And that's basically what I'd like to show you. All of you have got some telephones in your pockets or somewhere. If you quickly count there, it's an ore or mineral with about 48 to 50 elements in it. And we just throw these things away. Our kids, each of them have one. They get thrown away. We buy a new one because our ego wants it. But at the same time, we are throwing all these beautiful metals away. I show this specifically because later I'll show you the type of technology that is available that actually can recycle this and get the values back. The gold content in these is substantially higher, if in concentrated form, than just gold ore. But remember that. I always say that to students. You've got waste in your pocket, but be careful how you deal with it. Don't just throw it away. But we also have to show them and make sure that the consumer knows where these things are disappearing to, not just into containers somewhere in the world. I've got unfortunately, the light is it's a bit light, but I've tried to show, and I've always tried to work at that interface between industry, practice, but also to the legislator. And we had a very interesting question from Philips at the time, is We have to remove lead from our solder. But people were starting to obviously have a campaign against lead. They said, well, let's use bismuth, let's use silver. People got huge grants. And a very simple question that was asked to me, where do I get bismuth to replace lead? And I said, well, you're killing lead, the source of bismuth. So what I've tried to do is, well, convey metallurgy to the legislator, to design companies, to make them aware that choices could have a very drastic effect on our whole metallurgy, which is really the source of these metals. And I've likened it to the web of metals. It's not just linear, it's very highly connected, like the Nokia in your pocket. It's a very, very complex mineral. And we've tried to visualize that in various forms, and I'll leave that with you. I'm still busy at the moment to look in the Netherlands at how to optimize the Wii recycling, that is waste electric and electronic equipment. Just to give you a bit of an idea of the order of magnitude of materials being created there, I've taken a slide which I've got from a colleague at Umicore in Belgium, which I've always had a good contact to. This is typically about 5,000 kilotons per annum of this type of waste being created. Bulk collected of white, brown, and gray goods, 1.2 million tons per annum. That is reduced to really valuable e-scrap, about 450 kilotons per annum, that you can actually use and recycle. And that's my key point in this slide. There are valuable metals, and there are companies outside there that are recovering this. And the interesting thing is, two of the four plants that are doing that, one is in Germany, one is in Belgium. They're using Australian technology developed here in Melbourne. And it's a top 7 Lance technology, either smelt or smelt, but just keep it unbiased. It's technology used there, opportunities that are operating economically at the moment. But what is also happening, and perhaps that's also happening in this country, that some of this waste just disappears in some containers and then it goes off to some place. In spite of everything, we still have substantial losses from that system just flowing out. But it's a market opportunity. There's great technology in this country, great metallurgists. There's metallurgy resource companies. But it's an opportunity, I think, not to be considered. Just to give an overview of that, you can't see from the back, but this is just, we have all these metals coming in. And I would like to show you, basically, with this slide, materials come in, they go out. They go out in an environmentally friendly, sustainable, or not perhaps sustainable way in the sense that you would say sustainable. Obviously, optimal recovery, minimal waste creation, maximum energy utilization. This is the plant that I've always been working with in the past. And I show this. This is Umicore in Antwerpen. Here's a residential area right around it. It's totally clean, and they've made a very important decision high up in the company. We will go for the highest sustainable technology that there is. We will create a clean view and image of our industry. I've always said to them, this is what you have to market all the time, and these companies are really doing it. Once again, with Australian technology, which is situated, if you look carefully, over there. Let me go one step. That was electronics recycling. A very interesting field that has been following me for many years is car recycling. And I've got from the metallurgy part right up to the legislator and talked on the EU level, trying to change or modify laws that there are. Here's a specific project which is designing a super light car with composite materials, also with super strength steels that are coming on the market at the moment. Very interesting project, but usually, obviously, super light cars to save CO2, less fuel, etc. However, the legislation in Europe requires, from this year onward, 85% recycling rate of materials and energy recovery together. In 2015, in other words, the cars that are being developed here will be recyclable 95%. And that is a pretty tall order. So we can't just go ahead with the normal sort of standard tools to evaluate these systems. We went one step further, and this is the status quo at the moment where I'm specifically still at this moment involved in. not just doing the standard LCA, but linking recycling models to computer-aided design to predict 15 years ahead or 10 years or 15 years ahead what will be the recycling rate of the cars. That is required by law, and that's what's happening. The car industry has realized that. And it took about 2-3 years to convince them, because usually recycling is the last thing of interest to any designer. However, law is requiring that to happen. But in all this discussion, it came very clear that these laws are a bit crazy. And we used our models to show this. We made a very provocative statement, and this is in German, so it's a large market. My apologies, but I'll translate it for you. It says 95% recycling rate is a perpetuum mobile, a perpetuum machine. In other words, second law of thermodynamics is being not honored by this law. So we let this paper loose about 2 months ago. We're still waiting for the reply. But that is come about because laws were defined without good fundamental understanding of the bigger system. Understanding economics, the grade and recovery curves of the plants, the metallurgy thereof. So what I'm saying is, this country's got all that. It's got the metallurgists, it's got the environmental awareness, it's got the bigger picture view as well. It's really what this is saying. So we were rattling really the chain right up high. So hopefully it does have an effect, not to do away with the law, but to show how laws have to be defined in future, to make it market orientated as well, not only just the environmental aspect, because otherwise it's not going to work, as you all know. Just to show you that it has always been of interest to actually go and walk along in plants. It's not just an academic exercise. To really be able to model systems, professors must walk around on plants. And we did the largest recycling experiment a year or three ago, and we're still benefiting from that because we went through there with open eyes, with the really process engineering approach. And we had to calculate, and that was the objective, the recycling rate of the present population of cars in the Netherlands. We did the experiment in Belgium. We took samples of about 100 tons of material. We melted 50 tons in a steel converter to get the copper content, etc. It's a really large experiment divided and devised by the European car industry, the recycling industry, to get a feel for what's really going on. Real data, not just database data, which I think some of us don't even believe. Real data to show what it's really is at the moment. At the same time, give the statistical margins of all this information. I leave that there. This is another picture of that that slide. Obviously, we have an option as well. You can immediately say recycling, yeah, well, it's going to work if we have an economy of scale, if we've got enough material. Key to recycling, as I've said earlier, is also the sortation thereof. Now, that is often so expensive that we say, well, let's put it in a container and go somewhere. But that's not, morally right anymore. So there's a very large advancement in sortation technology coming from the primary resource industry, where sortation has been part of it in the diamond industry. When I worked at De Beers for 25 years ago, it was already developed there. And those things are all finding its way into the market at the moment. So to create and close the cycle, to create products and grades that are environmentally benign, but at the same time also economically saleable in the chain. As you can see, each of these slides show a depth of knowledge to be able to command that whole picture. And that's really the key to all this. I've actually decided also, and this is by no means advertisement, I've written a book, and many years or 3 years ago already put this technology as center point of recycling of electronic goods and other base metal containing materials. That could be zinc, copper, nickel, lead. All these processes are running at the moment. And it's technology developed here. And I've always wondered, while I was in Europe, how can this be that this beautiful technology is used there and not here? It's beautiful, and I put it in the center of the book about 2 years, 3 years ago to show that this is how you close the cycle. You need reactors somewhere to close the cycle. And this is one type of reactor that can do that. So that was the book I spoke to you about, and I have one message with this. We can be hardened engineers. I'm a process engineer, but many years ago I realized I have to be able to speak the language of the environmentalist, of the ecologist. I have to speak the language of the design engineer. It takes a lot of energy. We came up with a very soft title, The Metrics of Material Metal Ecology. But deep down, if you look in the book, at the back is solid process engineering metallurgy, minerals processing where I grew up in, to show how to link and close the cycle. So if you're speaking about recycling, of closing the cycle, saving energy, reducing CO2, it's possible, it's there. But this country has got all that expertise here. We really have a huge opportunity if one takes that. I leave you with this final slide, and I think I'm well on time. This is in a very well, I don't know if you know Escher from the Netherlands. If you go through his website or you go and look in his books, he's made very beautiful drawings. And I always show this. Is recycling an illusion? No, it's not going upstream. But we have to be very knowledgeable to actually link and close and know each reaction that's taking place, as I showed you in the first slide of the Kelvin, to bring everything together. That's the trick. Economics makes it work, but it's possible. And I think in this country it can be working. I always say that this country's got all the metals, got all the resources, got a lot of energy. It can be really the metal basket of the world if you really have a long-term vision and look a couple of years ahead. Thank you for your attention.